Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. Throws it down. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Another edition of our NBA Draft Q&A presented by Manscaped. CP the Franchise here checking in. Special guest making his return to these draft series. Really insightful, really expert analysis here. And that is Derek Murray, senior NBA draft writer for BasketballNews.com. Derek, welcome back, man. How you doing?
No, I'm all good. I appreciate you having me on the show. It's an honor to be here. Honestly, one of the best YouTubers, podcasters, one of the best hosts in the game. So always enjoy talking draft with you. And again, Knicks Nation's one of the best. They actually care about the draft. They know what's going on, which is always a good time. So I'm happy to be here and ready to answer some questions for you guys.
Absolutely, man. Now, this year's a bit different for you for the draft in that you were able to get out and actually, you know, cover some of these guys, you know, no pandemic and things of that nature. What are your general thoughts on this draft class compared to years past?
Yeah, this draft class, I think the back end of the first is pretty strong comparatively. I think the back end of the second is a little weaker than last year. You know, we've had so many guys pull out of this draft that I think as we reach the end of the middle and the end of the second round, it's a little bit weaker than I'd hope. I get a little excited about less than I generally do. But the top of this class has some bona fide superstars coming out. The lottery is going to be an absolute crapshoot from probably 8 to 20. Guys can go anywhere in that range. We have no clue where people are going to go. But all the way through the first round, I think you're getting some really, really good players. So the depth in the first is good. Back into the second, I wish it was a little stronger, but generally it's a good draft.
Very interesting, man. Now let's dig into your mock draft, BasketballNews.com mock draft for the Knicks. Coming in at 19, he's been a favorite in a lot of these mock drafts, man. And you guys once again have the Knicks selecting Sharif Cooper, the playmaking stud point guard out of Auburn. Only played 12 games for Auburn this year. He missed most of the season due to eligibility issues. But, you know, we know Cooper's playmaking prowess is what makes him so intriguing. The shooting is a big question mark for me. What do you think about, you know, his ability to hit the three or to knock down shots at the next level?
It's going to be a huge swing skill for him. Guys at his size, I know there was a lot of iffy with the measurements of the combine. Yeah. I think for a little bit the website had up that he was 6'3 or 6'3.5 or something. I'm a believer that they accidentally copy and pasted Book Knight's numbers and actually dropped those down to Cooper because they were identical for a while on the website. Mm-hmm. He's closer to 5'11.5 is what you're going to get at him. And I think the ability to hit shots from deep is going to be a swing skill. You know, at that size, if you're going to succeed in the NBA, you have to be, you know, elite at a handful of different things, facilitating, which again, he's got great vision, incredible passer, but he's either going to have to excel at the rim or as a shooter. And, you know, he is very crafty around the rim, got great moves, body control, sees the floor very well, but against NBA length on a regular basis, he's going to have to be able to hit the three ball. And it was concerning. I think we saw pretty early on at Auburn that it was going to be an issue, but he got a little bit better as the year went on. But again, that's going to be the big swing skill in my mind and some others. that'll raise his floor and his ceiling at the NBA level.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But, you know, the passing and the playmaking prowess is obviously something that the Knicks need, especially his ability to throw guys open. I think you saw that a lot at Auburn, and the Knicks just didn't have that at all. I mean, when Rose came in, for sure, he definitely delivered. But, you know, as far as a long-term option at the point, you know, we just didn't have it. The size certainly concerns me, especially if he can't shoot the ball well. You know, a lot of people want to compare him to Trae Young in terms of what he was able to do at the college level. But what Young is showing at the NBA is that he can score at all three levels. So not only is he a pick-and-roll threat in terms of finishing at the rim and also with the floaters and also just throwing the lobs, but you got to respect the 30-footer as well, man. He can shoot the ball extremely well. So with Cooper, yeah, he's only 20 years old, which I think, you know, you should be optimistic in terms of him improving there, but it's certainly an issue. I mean, defensively, what do you think there, just in terms of his ability to not be exposed at the next level, to get over screens? He is a bit small. I mean, he is short, but he's also weighed in kind of thin at the combine as well.
Yeah, I really worry about him on the defensive end. I don't know if I'm going to say complete liability at this point in his career, because when he's really locked in, he can be a pest on the ball. You know, he's got really quick feet and he's intelligent. He just, it's a issue of whether or not he's going to be locked in the whole time. And even when he is, if there's switches that get him down on the block, it's pretty much over. Like NBA bigs, NBA, I mean, threes and fours, and probably most twos are going to have their way with him down low. So he's going to have to make up for it on the offensive end. Defense, I do have question marks right now. It's not so much a disinterest or lack of skill or ability. It's strictly due to his size. And yeah, going back to your first point about like comparing him and Trae Young, it's kind of unfair to him because Trae Young is a generational talent.
Right.
And I'm not a huge fan of comps just for that reason. But the thing with Trae was, even at OU, when, again, I got to see him probably 10 times that season here in Oklahoma City, you couldn't go under anything. You could not go under the pick and roll. And until Cooper makes you fight over to take away that shot,
right,
his offense really could be limited early in his career. He's going to have to force the defense into actions they don't want to be in.
Do you know what exactly – it seemed like, you know, during these pre-draft workouts, he was – working on some sort of, you know, altering his shot mechanics a bit. Do you know what that was?
Just not to lean back so far, be more straight up, be more balanced with his footwork. A lot of it is the balance, having a stronger base instead of fading back. I think that's what you're going to see the biggest difference in mechanically with the shot.
Yeah, interesting. Now at 22, you guys are picking my guy. A lot of Knicks fans like, and he just worked out for the Knicks just yesterday, and that is Trae Mann out of Florida. I like this kid a lot, man. We've seen, especially in the playoffs, that shot creation is at a premium in his league. And this kid has it. You know, he has all the tools to me, the ball handling, the change of space, the step back, the three-point shot, you know, 40% from three. I was encouraged in the leaps that he took from his freshman year to his sophomore year, especially from the three-point line and from the free throw line as well. What's your take out on Trae Mann out of Florida?
Yeah, I really liked Trae Mann this year. Really efficient playmaker, passer, shooter, great feet. The ability to stop on a dime, all kind of ball handling skills. Like he's really, really skilled. We went and saw him, Matt and I did, in Miami. Went to see a private workout down there. He's every bit of 6'3", 6'4". So the 6'5 reports were probably a little gifted with his hair. They probably just measured the top of that at Florida. But again, he's a big kid. He definitely did grow from freshman to sophomore year. I worry about his weight a little bit and his overall quickness. Like his movements are awesome. His stop, his change of direction is really, really good. I do have concerns with just overall burst as far as beating defenders off the dribble, but he's going to be able to get his own shot a lot at the NBA. Again, his pre-shot footwork, his mechanics are really, really smooth. I like him as a scorer. And then on defense, nothing special, nothing to write home about, but by no means a liability or a big issue. He'll have to get a little stronger. He'll need to get in the gym, NBA weight program. But I think he's an adequate defender. I think Trae Mann could be really, really good in the NBA.
How much stock do you put in the fact that wingspan, you know, how much stock do you take in the fact that his wingspan is shorter than his height? You know, there was a knock on Desmond Bane last year's draft in that regard. How much stock, when you're analyzing and scouting players, do you take in a player's wingspan?
Yeah, I do care on the defensive end. You know, I would like my defenders to have really long arms, clog passing lanes, defend the rim. Again, because he's intelligent, because he's really smart defender, he digs when he needs to and stunts. He's always rotating at the right time and place. So he puts himself in good spots to where he doesn't have to rely on like elite length to overcompensate for other mental mistakes. So in that aspect, I don't worry about it too much. I will worry about it in the lane on offense and on defense as well. Just rim protection, the little he'll have to do as a guard. And then getting into the lane, again, similar to Cooper, that NBA traffic, it's different with those big guys down in the rim than it is in college. And I think you'll have to adjust to that. So it's not a major concern by any means, but it is something that I wish was a little bit different and that I do take into account.
It's quite interesting. Going to be interesting to see where he lands, but certainly an option for the Knicks. And as we said, just to alert people in the chat that the Knicks did work out Trey Mann yesterday, as well as a few others that we'll talk about tonight. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. If you guys have questions for Derek on the draft, call us up 657-383-1509. You can also get in with us through the Knicks Fan TV Discord. So make sure you guys are doing that. And once again, let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button. So we talked about Cooper at 19. 21 is another guy that a lot of Knicks fans like myself like. We've seen also in the playoffs how much wing scoring and wing defense is at a premium in this league. I think you look at the Hawks on the offensive side. You look at a team like the Suns having that wing depth on the defensive side. Trey Murphy out of UVA, you guys have him going to the Knicks at 21. What do you like about Murphy?
So Murphy's stock has, at the beginning of the year, kind of came out of nowhere, and it continues to rise right now. This kid is really big. He's 6'8", 205 pounds, is in tremendous shape, long arms, and can absolutely shoot the lights out. He did it at Rice, and now he did it at Virginia. And again, with Murphy, what I think you're getting is an elite role player. You're not getting a superstar. He doesn't have superstar or like star upside. He's not going to create for himself all the time. But again, a good defender, good feet, and can, again, shoot the lights out. So I think you're looking at a guy who can help a playoff team a lot, even though he's not going to have some like superstar upside.
Yeah, I don't see the superstar upside, as you said, but a guy that looks like he can be plug and play, you know, ready to go, especially, you know, his ability to shoot that well from beyond the arc, and then just having the versatility to guard threes, guard fours. As I said, I think that's at a high premium, especially in this league. You look at what the Hawks did to the Knicks. They seem like they had wings just coming out of everywhere, you know, from Hunter to Herter to Bogdanovich, Gallinari. You know, they had so much depth there that the Knicks just didn't have any answers for them on the defensive end. So I think he's a guy that can certainly help us. And, you know, we're hoping for some upside here, but I don't think you can cry about it with the 21st pick as long as he can come in and contribute.
Right. And again, like championship teams, you have to have elite role players to win. So there is a time where you don't draft for that super high upside and you take a guy like Murphy. And I think the Knicks are in a spot again as a playoff team, hope to return to the playoffs again. I think if you get a high upside kid at 19, it would make sense at 21 to kind of go the other direction and try to round out your roster. Yeah.
Now at 32, an interesting pick because you got to figure with the Kentucky contingent abound in Madison Square Garden, the CAA crew there with Worldwide West and Leon Rose and Kenny Payne and their connection to the school, you got to figure that one of these Kentucky kids are definitely being looked at. And one of the kids that came in for a workout was Isaiah Jackson. But who you guys have at 32? You have the Knicks taking B.J. Boston. Came in with critically acclaimed coming out of high school. Had a lousy year with Kentucky his freshman year. Kentucky overall didn't have a good season, you know, let's be honest. But, you know, a 44% true shooting percentage. What happened with B.J. Boston and what gives you what makes you optimistic about his potential at the NBA level?
Yeah, depending on who you talk to, you know, your pre-college film matters a lot. High school AAU, that tape matters. What you did at that level as a junior and senior in high school, it matters. And I know Boston had his struggles at Kentucky, a lot of very glaring struggles, an inability to create for himself sometimes, just monstrous shooting slumps. But I think down, like deep down, there is a layer of talent and skill that, I mean, if he's there the early second round, I think he's worth taking a shot on. It wouldn't shock me if he went late first. Again, you just really look at what he was able to do at the high school level as a young guy, and it's down in there somewhere. So I expect him to improve a lot. What I do think with Boston is that you're not going to get a kid who contributes early in his career. I think it's going to take a minute, maybe a couple seasons of legitimate development before he turns into like any kind of starter. But I think long term, again, his baseline talent level is worth taking. And if he's there at 32, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to like the size, the length, potential. He's got a little quick first step. I was surprised that he didn't play so well in his freshman year. But, you know, at 32, as you said, beginning of the second round, maybe that's a pick that the Knicks take a swing on. And I'm sure they, of all teams, have good intel on him. Like I said, just coming from the program, I'm sure World Wide West and he had a fairly decent relationship. So I'm sure they're doing their homework on these Kentucky guys. How about Jackson from Kentucky, because he's another guy who was in yesterday's workout with Trey Mann. What's your take of Isaiah Jackson, the big man out of Kentucky?
I'll tell you this, the Knicks want Isaiah Jackson. And he is so athletic. I don't know if he will be there at either of the Knicks picks. He's kind of got a range, I'd say anywhere from, you know, back end of the lottery to maybe early 20s. There are concerns with his offense. You know, he's really raw. The footwork isn't great. He's not really a shooter by any means. But again, his athleticism and length are just ridiculous. He's just a true leaper, explosive off the floor, really, really, really quickly. And I think he's a guy, if you can get your hands on him, you can have a defensive anchor with a little more muscle. He can own the paint. And I think he's a guy that if he's there at 19 or 21, I would expect the Knicks to probably take him. The question will be if he's there, because there are some rebuilding teams who are going to need young guys at the back of the lottery in the mid first round that I would imagine are also looking at Jackson a lot.
Interesting. OKC could be one of them. You know, OKC with a ton of picks in that first round. They did. Is it Moses Brown? Did they deal Moses Brown in the Celtics deal for Kemba?
Yep. So the Thunder had six and they had another pick that now they have 6, 16, and 18. They have 16, which was Boston's for the Moses Brown. Well, not the Moses Brown deal. You call it the Kemba deal. Yeah. But Moses Brown was what went back to Boston.
Yeah, he was pretty impressive. I got a chance to see him against the Knicks twice this year. He was pretty impressive in terms of manning the paint. So Isaiah Jackson could definitely be an option, but also an option for the Knicks, because in addition to needing a point guard and just some scoring at the wing, I think they could use some depth at the backup five. I don't see them investing in Nerlens Noel to return. Could be wrong, but I just don't see them allocating assets or salary cap to a backup center. And we just don't know what Mitchell Robinson's future holds as a soon to be free agent, and also just durability. I just think they need some additional front court depth. They were a bit old in that department last year. No disrespect to Taj, he gave us his all, but I think they could use some youth and some more depth. So you think Jackson could be a hot commodity if he's there around 19 and 21 for them as well?
I do. It's crazy. If you look at the Knicks contracts next year, I mean, there's really not a whole lot that's like solidified under contract. It looks like, I mean, you got Barrett, Toppin, Knox, Robinson, Quickly, and it looks like Luka and Randall, I mean, are options, I believe. I mean, that's pretty much it. And again, as far as big men go, I think a center position will need to be addressed. What's interesting is if Jackson and Alperen Sengun are off the board, I don't know if there's a big at 19 or 21 that you would reach for at that point. I think De'Ron Sharpe from North Carolina could be in play, but I really don't know. I think those are the two bigs that if you're the Knicks, you want at your spots. But other than that, like if they're both gone, I don't know if big is the way to go, because there's going to be enough talent slipping to you if those two guys go ahead.
And speaking of bigs, another guy that they worked out in the Jackson and Trey Mann workouts was Charles Bassey out of Western Illinois, I believe. Western Kentucky. What's your take? Have you scouted Bassey? What do you think about him?
Yeah, so if Bassey was in there for a workout, I think he's definitely in play at 32. Mm-hmm. He is incredibly strong, incredibly athletic, still fairly young for being, I believe, a junior out of Western Kentucky. He's riddled with some injuries in his past. He's dealt with a lot of knee issues. Over Basketball News, we interviewed him and we talked to him about, hey, what is it like to go through the injuries? And now you're mentally stronger because you had to go through, you know, A, B, and C and, you know, the rehab and all these issues. And He's a mentally tough kid. And again, physically, he's very imposing. He's really, really big, runs the floor well, finishes at the rim, rim protector. And at 32, I think he's a guy that could absolutely be in play. Not necessarily skilled as far as a shooter. You're going to get a guy that's mostly an interior presence. But again, if you want to see some big time dunks and blocks, Bassey film can get fun to get into.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. So the basketballnews.com drop mock draft for the Knicks is Cooper at 19, Trey Murphy at 21, and then BJ Boston at Kentucky reunion at 32. What do you guys think about that in the chat? Leave a comment in the chat, and we'll shout you guys out. I didn't see 58 on the site. Was it Jason Preston? I think because
yes. Right now, Jason Preston is the guy we have there. Again, guessing the back end of the second round is always kind of a crapshoot. And a lot of the international players that we expected to be at the back end of the second, a lot of them have withdrawn, you know, here in the last two or three days. It's really interesting. So I think you're going to have less draft and stash options at the end of the second. I think David Johnson, Herb Jones, Jason Preston, those guys could all be in play. If you don't take a big in the first, I think Petrushev could be an option. The guy from Mega who's playing overseas that 2 years ago was at Gonzaga, for those who aren't familiar with his game. It's hard to predict. Again, 58, I mean, you could go at that point, 100 different directions, depending on who's on the board. But right now we do have Preston there out of Ohio because there's a little love for him out there.
Yeah, he's another guy whose stock I'm hearing is on the rise as well. So very interesting indeed. I want to shout out my guy Robert Parrish, sends us a super chat. He says, BJ Boston is a risk at number 32, but I take it. Grab Murphy the third at 19 if he's there. So Robert is high on Trey Murphy the third. Okay, let's go to the phones, and we're going to kick it off with Jay from East New York. Jay, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good, man.
Good, Jay.
Really, what I want to discuss is, like, okay, so is RJ and Julius going to be our future ball handlers? Because if they're going to be on the ball, then I'm looking at point guards that is more in line of scoring. I know Sharif Cooper is good. He's a really good passer. But he's undersized and he can't shoot. Like, I just don't see that yielding any great results. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, what player would you plug and play as a backup point guard as far as passing and shooting, something that could kind of fit the best of both worlds? That's what I want to ask both of you guys, because I feel like that's where, you know, guys like Miles McBride, Jared Butler, those guys fit that mold. You know what I'm saying? Guys that can pass a little bit, but they also could get these shot off. And also, I feel like if we're going to be taking any shooters, I feel like we should go ahead and grab Quentin Grimes. Like, that guy was really balling, and I really think that that's somebody that we could pick up at, like, you know, like the 21st pick, not with 19. I feel like we should go after Jared Butler and try to get him as soon as possible, get him off the board, you know. And I wanted to ask about that whole heart issue thing, because I was hearing that he got cleared. So what's the status with Jared Butler? And I like Quentin Grimes at 21, and also a big man that we should take in the second round. I'm looking at Nemias Keita. I don't know if I said his name right, but I think that he would fit with the Knicks too.
I appreciate the call, man. Definitely appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, if you look at how, you know, the Knicks offense was ran last year, obviously it ran through Julius. It ran through Julius in their half-court sets for the most part. You know, you had Peyton who was out there as the point guard, but he really wasn't facilitating much. It was Julius who was the primary playmaker. And then you had RJ, you know, from a secondary standpoint. Derrick Rose also as well. So in that situation, yeah, I would look for more off-ball scoring. And obviously Trey Mann is at the top of the list. If we're looking for more defense, McBride, Butler would certainly fit that mold as well. More combo guards in that respect. And I think those guys can certainly give us a lift in the lineup. Derek, I mean, in terms of Butler, it seems like he's got no restrictions right now. The heart ailment was a bit of a question mark, but it seems like he's 100% cleared.
So a lot to unpack there. I do appreciate the call. A lot of really good questions, and you did pronounce everything correctly. So great job on that. I think Trey Mann is at the top of the list of guards who can facilitate but also shoot. You know, the concerns with Cooper, if you don't buy the shot, that's where I do think Trey Mann comes into play. I think another one that's not being talked about a whole lot, had a great combine, is Bones Highland from VCU. Yeah. I was just with him in Atlanta. He's got a great combination of ability to facilitate and create, but also he is a big time legitimate NBA range shot maker. So I think the Highland could be in play. You know, 1921, it does feel very high for him. Word is he's not making out of the first round. So I think he could be in play. McBride, if you want defense. And then to address the Jared Butler thing, Butler is a lottery talent based on just his basketball. The heart issue's been there for a while. People in the NBA have known about it for a while now. He's been cleared by the league for basketball activities. I believe Shams tweeted that out, you know, maybe a week ago or so. Something to take into account is that does not mean that the teams are going to clear him. You know, if I'm the GM and CP's the team doctor and we bring Butler in, you know, CP tells me, hey, like, I don't think this is a good idea. You know, I'm still putting my red flag on him as a professional. Then I have to listen to my team doctor, you know, even if the NBA has cleared him. So that's just something to take into account. Again, Jared Butler, one of the best people you'll ever meet. Teams absolutely love him in their interviews. They loved him last year. Everybody's rooting for the guy. And again, just purely basketball, I think he's lottery talent. But there's going to be a lot to unpack, and it's going to take a team really looking inside their medical staff to clear him for him to go, I believe, in the first round.
Very interesting. And another name he dropped was Nemias Queta.
Yeah. So Queta out of Utah State, again, he improved so much this year for the Aggies. I believe he averaged, I don't know if you got it up, CP, how many blocks? I think it was three, maybe four blocks a game. Just an incredible rim protector. His instincts are great. Another guy that has been riddled with knee injuries in his past. His lower body is pretty concerning. But again, people like the guy. He's really, really big. He's long. He can rim run, protect the rim. Really kind of sneaky, impressive feet down in the low post. Can finish around the rim really nicely. But again, you'll have to be convinced that the lower body injuries of the past are not going to creep up to take him too high. But I fully expect him to be taken in the second round.
Based on, you know, the guys that you've met and you know, some of the other scouts in your network that you speak to, it seems like from our research that the Knicks are very high on high character guys, great work ethic. You know, that's how they got OB in the draft and quickly as well. Who were some of those guys that you see within that, say, 19 to 21 range, or even greater within that lower teens to 20s range that kind of fit that mold?
Yeah. And again, I apologize on the stream. If you see me looking over here, I'm looking at my other screen on a player list.
Okay.
I think, you know, Trey Murphy is a guy that everybody seems to like. High character, really good teammate, good locker room guy. Coaches speak highly of him. Teammates speak highly of him. So Trey Murphy comes to mind there. I genuinely enjoyed being around Bones Highland in that workout. He's got a great combination of like humility. He's been through a lot in his life, you know, really great personal story about what he's had to battle through and be resilient through. But he also knows he's good. He knows he's good. And it's a great balance of humility, but also like, I want to walk the line of arrogance, but it's the kind of chip on your shoulder where you want your player to have that attitude. Those are two guys that I've truly enjoyed being around through this process.
Very interesting. And with Bones, you had said that you felt like, you know, 1921 may be a bit too high for him. Where are some of the holes in his game that, you know, because it seems like he has that shot creation ability, that ability to shoot from all three levels. Well, where are some of the holes in his game that you think he needs to work on at the next level?
So he can get a little lazy with decision-making as a passer sometimes. A couple more turnovers than we'd like to see. On defense, he can be a bit of a gambler where his instincts are good. He knows what he needs to go do, but sometimes he can get caught jumping lanes, falling asleep off the ball, just little stuff like that to clean up. But again, he's got tight handles, great footwork, shot-making ability. He's aggressive. I think he's the kind of guy. Again, no, I didn't expect quickly to be taking as nearly as high as he was last year. And they have very similar games. So now I see Highland and 1921. Again, it feels high, if you will, but it wouldn't shock me at all if he went in that range.
And it was reported that the Knicks did interview or work him out as well. So he seems to be a guy on their list. Were you at the combine? Did you see the Quentin Grimes scrimmages that people were speaking about?
Matt was up there. I was on the road, took care of a lot of other stuff while he was up at the combine, but he was really impressed with Grimes as well. I think Grimes, there's a chance He can go in the back end of the first round. I definitely think he's in play at 32.
Interesting. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Shout out my guy, Matt Babcock, as well. BabcockHoopsBasketballNews.com. Matt was a guest on this show last year, so we definitely appreciate him and his team, and you're definitely part of that team. So certainly appreciate you guys. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's hear from, Yonkers. Joe, long time, Joe. How you doing?
What's happening, guys? How you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Josh Christopher. I see a lot of kind of the same intangibles as Donovan Mitchell had coming out of college. Mm-hmm. Kind of the shot creation, athleticism. I was thinking maybe the Knicks having a look at maybe getting him at 21. Kind of having, putting him with Johnny Bryan. I think he'd be a good kind of guy to come in at the wing. He's good size.
Josh Christopher out of Arizona State, Derek. Where'd you guys have him going in your latest mock?
Yeah, right now we actually have him pretty close after the Knicks. We have him at 26 to Denver. Again, to Joe's point, you know, he's an athletic wing who can get buckets. And I didn't list him in the earlier players because I do think that he struggles as a facilitator in passing at times. There are definitely times where he'll try to make a pass or he'll lose a handle. And it's like, come on, Josh, what are we doing, man? But again, he is a really good athlete, phenomenal combine, was dunking all over people. He finishes at the rim. He's a nightmare to try to stop in transition. And I think as an off-ball two guard, you know, at 6'4", 6'4 and a half, I think Christopher could be really good at the next level. Have to clean some stuff up, but his pure skill and underlying talent is awesome.
Where would you stack him up defensively with some of the other wings in the draft?
Honestly, not very good. He falls asleep off ball a lot. Really not always engaged as a defender, and that's one knock on him. Again, it's not that the physical tools aren't there. It's that you just got to get him to lock in.
Got it. Got it. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Joe, appreciate the call. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's hear from Dan from New Jersey. Dan, how you doing?
Hello, okay.
Dan, what's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Hey, man, it's been a long time. Quick shout out to Giannis and the Bucks. That was a very entertaining finals. Yeah. You know, I was
dominant.
I was really happy with the outcome, man. Like, I don't know, something about CP3 schooling us twice made me real happy to see him fall like back to that locker room. Talk soon, but I wanted to, like, see what you guys thought about maybe if, like, I don't know if Cleveland would want to do this, but, like, instead of, like, giving up Obi, maybe just do 19 and 21 plus Kevin Knox. But if you guys do want to use 19 21, I was thinking about looking at Trey Mann at 19. I agree with you, CP. I really like his shot creating ability. Mm-hmm. The way I see how that could be an issue, but I see people in this league like Trae Young, who people said during like the Philadelphia series, oh, just wait till Matisse Thybulle and Ben Simmons get on him. What happened? They won the series. Like, you can work your way around those things. You can't replace shot creation, in my opinion. So I don't really care who we draft at 21. We could get Trey Murphy if he's there. You guys could maybe look at Bones Highland at 32 if you want to move up. I don't know. But one thing's for sure, I want Trey, man. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, bro. Thanks a lot, man. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely not getting Sexton for 19, 21, and Kevin Knox. That's probably not going to happen, man. I don't think Cleveland's been known to make some boneheaded moves, but I don't think they're going to do that, man. It's going to cost us a bit more. We'll see what happens there. I mean, Derek, what's your take on the whole, you know, Cleveland draft, Sexton? What do you think about that whole situation?
You know, I always just appreciate Knicks fans just conjuring up these trade ideas that make sense to them. And you have to look at the other team's perspective and go, yeah, why would we do that?
Yeah.
That always cracks me up. I wouldn't be shocked, Dan, if 19 and 21 were traded. I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks packaged them to try to move up to go get somebody they like. I believe there are some teams, maybe the back end of the lottery earlier in the first round, that would be willing to move their pick for two later firsts. So if there's a guy the Knicks really want, it wouldn't shock me if they move both
Yeah.
But again, if you want a starter, I think you'll have to package somebody else. And I just don't know if 1921 and Obi's probably going to be the guy that can help you get over the hump, but not for a guy with the scoring of Sexton. So yeah. Again, wouldn't shock me if they're going to move him. I don't know what they're going to do. The Knicks have been pretty good this year about being tight-lipped. Mm. I think they'll try to trade the picks, though, ultimately.
Yeah, I think they should. You know, I think they should be aggressive to see what they can get, see if they can move into the back end of the lottery. Like I said, Kispert's a guy that I like a lot. I don't think Moody will drop, but if he drops, I would certainly love to, you know, see him in the Knicks jersey. You know, you have Orlando with 5-8. I don't know if 8 is attainable. You have Golden State sitting there with 7-14. What will they do? Are they going to go in with two young players? Are they going to try to, you know, move one of these picks for an established veteran? OKC's there with multiple picks in the top 20. So I think it's possible. I'm sure they'll inquire. Who's a guy that you would, you know, like with the Knicks at, say, like a wing between, say, let's say 10 and you know, 14.
Yeah, so just looking at the board, you know, I think it would be difficult to trade into the top 10. They might be able to get 10 from New Orleans. Yeah. I think that's maybe the highest they could absolutely get. I think Indiana at 13, you know, the Golden State pick at 14, I think you could also get. Thunder doesn't make a ton of sense because they've already got so many picks. I don't think they're trying to add
more
that they ultimately won't be able to roster down the road.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably only 3 or 4 options. I think Duarte would be an awesome win-now roster addition for the Knicks. I also think that the Knicks would have to trade up to get him.
Really? You think Duarte is going high up in the lottery?
Duarte's got a lot of love recently. We have him at 15 to Washington right now. Jonathan Wasserman has him at 14 to Golden State at his mock that I believe dropped this morning. I think Duarte's got a lot of love, and it could be difficult. I think he fits for a lot of teams. But again, he is the win now. If you can't go get Kispert, I think Duarte is the win now guy where you look at the Knicks, be like, oh, we need 3-point shooting. That's our guy. Yeah. And he's a tough nosed guy. I think he'll be 24 on draft night, which I think he just turned 24, which to a lot of people is a negative. But again, if you're trying to win right now, I think that's a great addition for your team.
Yeah, I like his game. As you said, you know, 3-point shooting, able to score it on the three levels. Can play it in the pick and roll, can shoot it in the transition, which I think would certainly help the Knicks, an area that, you know, they've been pretty poor at. But they have, you know, players that can play in transition, like R.J. Barrett, who can get up and down the court there. So I think Duarte can certainly be a guy that you can plug and play. Interesting to see that he could be going in the mid or end of the lottery there. So that's certainly interesting. But, yeah, Kispert is a guy I certainly like, and Moody as well. Where did you guys have Moody in your recent mock?
We have Moody right now at 10 to New Orleans. And I just want to say, looks like Vincent in the chat just said, Duarte about to get his AARP card. And I just want to say, Vincent, that made me laugh. I tried not to do it audibly here on the show, but that did make me laugh. But, yeah, we have Moody currently at 10, I think. You know, 8 to 12 is probably his range. He's got a lot of love recently.
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed. I want to salute everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. CP here with Derek Murray of Basketball News. We are talking NBA draft. We are 8 days away from the NBA draft, so we'll finally get to see what the Knicks do. Will they field all 4 picks? I doubt it, but what will they do? Will they move up? Let's see what happens. If you guys are new in the chat, leave me a hashtag new. We'll definitely shout you guys out. Remember, if you guys want to get in on the conversation, call us up 657-383-1509 and also through the Knicks Fan TV Discord. Remember, tonight's show, as usual, is presented to you guys by Manscaped, number one men's grooming tool below the waist, fellas. Remember, it is summertime. Make sure you turn on the AC there below the waist, and that is with the Lawnmower 4.0. It's like the Ferrari of ball trimmers. It's got the ceramic blade technology. You cut down on the nicks. Very safe, skin-safe technology. It has the LED spotlight, so, you know, you can do it in the dark, whatever you guys are into. Can also double as a flashlight if the lights go out, you know, during a bad storm. So it's very good. Excellent battery life. You can charge it on a wire charger, also wireless charging as well. So, you know, throw it in your travel bag. It's got they changed the button here so that if you do throw it in your travel bag, it doesn't go off. I think the 3.0 had some issues there with that. So they've made the 4.0 a lot sleeker and waterproof as well. And just remember that they're going to give us 20% off plus free shipping on your total order. Go to manscaped.com, enter promo code NYX at checkout. And they have a ton more products, not just Lawnmower 4.0. Definitely check out the Performance Package 4.0 as well. And, you know, all the great products for today's man. So go to manscaped.com, enter promo code NYX for 20% off plus free shipping. All right. No testimonials. Yeah, George Jones. Salute to George Jones. No testimonials. We haven't said that in a while. You know, just go get it. A lot of you guys like the product, but no testimonials. We definitely don't need proof to just go out and get it. Take my word for it. That's all I'll say there, man. Just take my word for it. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Val from Jersey. Val, how you doing, man?
How are you?
Good, Val. What's going on?
Oftentimes, I feel like we look at players as ceiling, that we don't look at their floor enough. Mm-hmm. The thing I like with Trey Mann is his floor is a shot-creating shooter. Trey Murphy is a spot-up shooter. But the guy at 32 that I really want us to look deeper into is that kid, Brent Langenberg. I was looking at his play. He's like a 6'11.4 that we could possibly run at the 4 or the 5 if he gains muscle or not. And I was just wondering, how do the Knicks feel about him? Because I'm just looking at this guy. He reminds me of that. You did a show on this guy. What's his name? Poku. You did a show on Poku last
year.
And I feel like if we can get a Poku type of guy, which is this Brent kid, it would just help the team. Because the team lacks purely skilled guys. And he just looks – he looks amazing. Like, his ball handle and everything. Like, oh, man, I wish the Knicks can get him at, like, earlier. But if we can get him at 32, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Derek, I haven't spoken to our guy, Jason Filippi, on Renz Blindberg. Shout out to Jason Filippi, formerly of Babcock Hoops, international scout. I haven't gotten his thoughts on Renz. Have you guys taken a look at Renz? What's your overall take on him?
Yeah, shout out to Jason, one of the best international scouts in the world, as far as I'm concerned. We've done a lot of work with him, and it's always awesome. You know, Vrenz didn't have much love, wasn't talked about a whole lot during the course of this season. And then I'd say in the last maybe 60, 90 days or so, I mean, it's picked up. If you don't follow him on Twitter, he's a great follow, interacts with everybody, hilarious kid. And he's been working out for everybody, it seems like, and there's a lot of love. You know, I thought for a while that maybe just 55 to 60, you take a flyer on him. I have some concerns with his shot, have some concerns with his defense. But again, the point forward capability of 6'10", he is a tremendous passer. Like, he sees the floor very, very well for a young kid. Poku last year, I think Vrenz is already 2 years older than him. So it's tough to compare them as far as like long-term upside in the same category, just with the age difference there. But again, Vrenz, I think middle of the second, maybe as high as late 30s to 50, maybe a range. It's tough to say with a lot of international kids who are kind of late onto the scene. But there is a lot of love for him right now around the league, and he's working out for everybody.
Yeah, shout out to Vrenz, man. He actually followed me on Twitter. You know, I was making a joke with Jonathan Watchman. I said, if he gets picked by the Knicks, all that will cease. But shout out to Vrenz. He's making his rounds around NBA and entering the good graces of the fan base. So he's appreciating the love.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's go back. Let's go to the Discord. We're going to go to Ireland. Speaking of international, my guy Darryl Walsh has been waiting to get in here for like the past couple of weeks. Darryl, cheers, man. How you doing?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear, bro. How you doing, man?
Yeah, good. How are you? No, I was just looking at like... sorry. One sec. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. I was just a lot of Knicks fans. I was looking at the point guard situation. I think, looking at Trey Mann, I just feel like he'd be like too similar to Quickley. And then looking at Cooper, I'd say like he's the kind of guy who needs the ball in his hands all the time. And I just like a guy like with Randall on the court, like I don't see them like sharing the ball much. And I think we stick with like veteran point guards. I think like Derrick Rose would be good, and if we can get Sexton, he'd be good. Or if not, a guy like Reggie Jackson. But I definitely like kind of a wing in the draft. Like my favorite guy would be Trey Murphy or Corey Kispert, or Zaire Williams also is a good like high upside guy.
Yeah. And yeah. Zaire Williams is a guy that we haven't spoken about out of Stanford. Again, didn't have a great year last year, but you know, what were some of your takeaways from Zaire Williams, Derek?
Yeah, and that's going to be the real question for how the Knicks draft is: whose hands do they want the ball in next year? Like that is what you're going to have to answer. Now, you can take a young kid, you can take a guy like Cooper, who may not need the ball in his hands right now, but long term is the kind of the point guard of your future. So that kind of pick makes sense. But if you kind of short sighted, you do look the next 2 or 3 years. Now you have a great point where, I don't know, maybe you just let Randall continue to handle the ball, Randall and Barrett, and you go get a veteran. At that point, I think Zaire Williams is definitely an option. I think that is well around his range for the draft, even though he didn't play very well. I think you're probably looking anywhere from, I don't know, maybe 18 to 30 for Zaire. There are some teams who are very low on him and other teams that look at a 6'8". He did actually measure 6'8", so he's a legit 6'8", ball handler, shot creator. And even though it didn't go in at a high clip, he was pretty inefficient. Again, another one of those guys like B.J. Boston, that underlying talent level is there. And at a certain point, teams aren't going to pass anymore. So I think Zaire is a wing option, intelligent defender as well. And, you know, shades of being able to handle the ball and hit big shots as a pull-up shooter. Matt and I were with him. We saw him work out in Las Vegas probably about 3 weeks ago now. Big kid. He'll definitely have to put on some weight. Another one of those kids who needs to get in an NBA weight program. But I think Zaire, if you're not looking for a true ball handler, if you're the Knicks, I think Zaire's on the table.
I still think the starting point guard of the Knicks will still be a veteran. Just you know, from where how Tibbs feels, I think he's going to give it to a guy that's going to be ready from day one and is going to know what he can do, command the offense, can trust to someone who he can trust and rely on. And I think that'll be a veteran. I think they will bring back Rose. Do they go out and get a Lowry, a Conley? You know, somebody who he feels like has a better chance to give him some more length from the starting lineup perspective, you know, as a start, because I just don't think Rose can give you that. But I still think they lean veteran there. Maybe they still take one of these kids, but, you know, bring them along slowly, kind of what he did with Quickley last year. Bring them along slowly against second units, you know, in spots where you feel like he can succeed. I think they'll do that again. And yeah, you could certainly make the argument that more of an off-ball combo would suit the Knicks a bit better long-term, if you're going to factor in that Randall's still going to be the dominator of the ball on the offensive end in the half court, and maybe RJ secondarily. So, you know, maybe having a more of an off-ball option that can go get you a bucket, but, you know, doesn't need the ball in his hands, you know, could be the optimal way that you fill in at the one. So we'll see what happens. Another guy that some fans are having questions on from the international perspective is Josh Giddey. What's been your opinion on Josh Giddey so far?
Yeah, I think Josh Giddey has a tremendous chance to be a lottery pick. Most people don't expect him to get out of the lottery. You know, my only concern with him right now is really his athleticism on the defensive side. Really struggles in the pick and roll as a defender. But again, excellent vision, comfortable at 18 years old. in a good league as a ball handler and an engine for the offense. Can get to the rims at Spurs, has really improved as a shooter. And again, a 6'8 ball handler who's really, really intelligent, has great feel for the game. I do not expect him to be on the board very long at all.
Josh Giddey played out of the NBL. And hey, you know, LaMelo came out of there. He came in and won Rookie of the Year. So I think Josh Giddey will certainly get an early lottery look, and we'll see which team he lands with. Back to the Discord we go. Let's go to King Deej, DJ from Staten Island. DJ, how you doing, man? DJ going once.
Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear, man. How you doing, bro?
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
All right, sorry, CP. You know the Discord is always 10 seconds late.
Yeah, it's all good.
Run it up. I'm going to get straight to it.
Yep.
Derek, I appreciate your insight because you're one of the one people that I actually listen to when it comes to the draft insiders. A lot of people be guessing. So I just want to ask you straight up, gun to your head at 19, are you taking Cooper or Mann? At 21, are you taking Duarte or are you taking Murphy? And then you already asked, you already explained about the Varenz kid from overseas. So I'm going to ask you a different question. How you feel about two people that you didn't name? McBride, Miles McBride, and also, oh my God, why am I forgetting this kid from Chicago? AOD.
Yeah.
I just feel like they're good backups. As you know, if option one and option two don't fall, me preferably, my selection is Trey Mann and Trey Murphy. I'm good with that. I'm all set for that.
Yeah.
But just too. Give me your options and your opinions on it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And Ayo was the third prospect to work out with the Knicks in the Trey Mann workout, along with Isaiah Jackson and Charles Bassey. So let's start with him. Let's start with Ayo Dosunmu from Illinois. What's your take on him?
Yeah, well, DJ, I appreciate the kind words, man. I don't like when people just throw out a bunch of guesses either. So we try to do as much homework as we can. And again, I really appreciate it. Dosunmu, I think he has a chance to go at the back end of the first. Will probably be an early second round pick out of Illinois. Again, good size, tremendous speed. His burst is really, really good. And he improved as a shooter a lot. My concern going into last year's pre-draft process was his shooting, and he addressed that really well this year up at Illinois. Other intel on him is that he has a tremendous work ethic. People apparently really like being around the kid. He's known for being just a relentless worker who will do whatever it takes to win, which really makes me like Dosunmu. So because he's, you know, coming out as a junior, I think 25 to 35, you know, that's probably, if I had to really get narrow on his range. McBride, one of the other ones you mentioned, again, he really helped himself at the combine. Measured really well. Kid has some long arms. Like, he's only 6'1". Let me pull up. Hang on. We've got the player profiles here on our website. Yeah, 6'1", but he measured a 6'9 wingspan.
Wow.
I mean, he's just a tremendous defender, will absolutely lock you up. And quite frankly, he's the kind of ball handler or the kind of on-ball defender that just puts you in hell.
Yeah.
That's just plain and simple. He makes life really difficult for you. A really good shot maker, undersized kind of for a one. He's undersized for a two at 6'1". So offensively with McBride, you have to really have a niche that you want him in if you're going to take him early. And that's part of McBride's game is like, you know, you can't have an undersized two guard at 6'1" unless you're scoring like Lou Will, you know? So that's something you got to take into account. He's not that kind of offensive player. So again, tremendous defender. He might've played himself into the first round in Chicago. And then DJ, to answer your question, if I am picking just me personally at 19 and 21, I'm making the same picks you are. I'm taking Trey Mann and I'm taking Trey Murphy.
Trey.
Gun to my head, I think it'll be Cooper and Murphy.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of juice on Cooper, man, in these past couple of days. You've seen a lot of articles coming out. Shout out my guy Ian Begley. He says Knicks are doing extensive work on Sharif Cooper. We'll see. Is that a smokescreen? We'll see what happens in 8 days. NBA draft coming up on July 29th. But I'm with you guys, man. I'm leaning man, and I'm leaning Murphy. I'm leaning Murphy. Give me some three-point shooting. Give me some defensive versatility in Murphy and a bucket getter in Trey Mann. And let's see if he continues to improve. Like I said, he made a huge leap from his freshman to sophomore year at Florida. Let's see if he continues on that trajectory. But right now, he certainly has the tools to help us out in many areas. So let's see where they go there. Jay from East New York says, sends in the super chat. He says, what's the scouting report on Kessler Edwards out of Pepperdine? He says, I hear we're looking at him, number 58, Kessler Edwards.
Yeah, so Edwards is a guy who had a really efficient year as a shooter. Good shooter, strong rebounder, good in the mid-range as well. He's one of the few guys that I trust to hit his open threes, and he's actually got some decent post moves. You know, 6'7", very, very low body fat at the combine, measured really well, 6'11 arms. Going to give you both inside and out offense. So I think for a while people got a little higher on him than they should when people were talking, you know, maybe back into the first. I think he's got maybe a 31 to 50 is probably a range I'll give him. You know, there are some teams that like him in the 30s. And again, he's just a really efficient guy, shot maker as well. So it doesn't surprise me that the Knicks are working him out. You know, if you can't get a guy like Murphy or Duarte if in the first, if you can't get your hands on him because they go early, I think Kessler Edwards would be a decent pick in addition in the second.
Very interesting. Another guy, another one of the hot shooters. We need shooters. Shot 46% from 3-on-5 attempts at Iowa, and that is Joe Wieskamp. Is he kind of in that Duncan Robinson mold? What's your take on him?
A little bit, I think so. I think he's a little more comfortable than Duncan is with the ball in his hand, you know, as at least some kind of initiator. You know, he's a decent passer as well, where I think Robinson's like purely only off the move or standstill shooting. You don't really have him running a whole lot of offense. But again, Wieskamp jumping that 42 at the combine, 6'6", no shoes, and a 6'11 wingspan. I mean, this kid proved he's one of the best athletes in the country, and you can tell on film, but it wasn't always the most functional athleticism. So to see him just straight up jump a 42 was actually super impressive, and he played himself up considerably in the second round. I don't think he'll be a first-round pick, but you could tell me 31, you could tell me 59, and wouldn't shock me. I think anywhere in the second is a range for him. But again, 46% from three this last year, and was a really good three-point shooter all year, or all 3 years at Iowa. So I think on good volume, he's a bona fide shooter. I think Wieskamp helped himself maybe second to Bones Highland more than anybody else in Chicago at the combine.
Interesting. Very interesting. Deets, salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Want to shout out Javier Montalvo for the super chat. He did ask us about Gideon, and we touched on that. I'm not sure if the Knicks worked him out or interviewed him. I have to check the list that I had. But, you know, Giddy's certainly a highly touted prospect. And as Derek said, a guy that's likely to go in the lottery. So if they do want him, they're going to have to find a way to jump up and get him. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's hear from ATL. Ben, how you feeling, bro?
Hey, CP, what's good, man? First time caller, bro.
Hey, how you doing, man? What's going on, Ben?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm good. Hey, Derek, man, much respect to you. Love your insight. But I got to say, Brandon Boston at 32, I'm not feeling that at all. We just dealt with Kevin Knox for a couple years, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of talent that falls, especially to that spot. So I'm going to have to pass on that hard pass. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people there, Grimes, McBride. Some people aren't talking about Wieskamp, and he's definitely shot the ball well. I feel like that should definitely be somebody we at least consider somewhere in the second round. Also, I don't think Isaiah Jackson is going to be available for us at 19, but I love his game. And I think with Noel, Nerlens probably going to get a decent contract this offseason. So we might have to look to get some big man depth there. But just in general, I think it's going to be hard to mess this draft up. I have confidence in this front office. I think we're going to do well. And hopefully we get a point guard, our point guard of the future. But I think we're going to get a couple rotation players in there. So, but yeah, that's all I had to say. Love your show, man.
Appreciate it, Ben.
Let me know your thoughts.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
Yep.
Yeah. Derek did just mention Wieskamp as a guy with some second-round potential. And I'm with you, man. I think in this draft, I'm hoping for a starter. Hopefully we get a starter, a guy that can contribute right away. But at the very least, I think we'll get one or two solid additions to the rotation. And hopefully, you know, together, collectively, they could help move the needle just a bit. Let's see, who else do we have?
CP, let me ask you something.
Yeah, good.
You know, Ben's point of not wanting to take Brandon Boston at 32 and comparing it to taking Knox at 9. I'm going to let you speak for all the Knicks fans out there. Why would taking a guy like Boston at 32, you know, second round pick, you're not guaranteeing him, you know, some 4-year deal up there on a rookie scale. Why does that seem as scary to some people? Why is the Kevin Knox pain just burned in the brain so much like any young Kentucky guy just scares them? Or because 32 and 9, I mean, your evaluation of that pick is so different. But I want to hear from your, like, representing all Knicks fans, what is the thought process there?
Well, look, I think Knicks fans have draft PTSD, period, man. You know, from Frank was a dud, Kevin was a dud, Obi, I'm concerned about Obi myself. I like the kid, high character kid. He's embraced the city, supporting him all the way. I just felt like it was a waste of a pick. I thought it was a redundant pick for Randall. I don't know where they were going with that. I don't know if they were looking one or the other. There were Randall trade rumors last year. I'm not so sure. And I think that they need to figure out what they're going to do there, because if Tibbs can't play the two of those guys in a small ball lineup, I don't see OB presenting that much value given where you drafted him. And I think I would try to, you know, get Sexton in that deal. I would. I just think it's just overall PTSD from Knicks.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, because our picks just have not panned out. And especially with where Knox was concerned, I wanted Mikal Bridges that year. There were a lot of fans who obviously wanted Michael Porter Jr. I wasn't willing to take that risk with Porzingis already on the mend with the ACL to bring in a kid with a bad back. I just felt like that was typical Knicks. I want to go a bit safer with Mikal Bridges, and, you know, he certainly is earned his keep in the finals. So, I mean, Boston at 32, you're talking about a second-round pick. I'd roll the dice, man. He had a bad year. I would gamble. You know, maybe his stock is low right now. I'd take a gamble on him, a kid that was highly touted out of high school. I don't see anything wrong with that at number 32. You know, definitely don't see anything wrong with that on 32. But what do you guys think in the chat, man? I just think we got PTSD, man, with the draft. We have no confidence that whoever we're going to draft is going to ever turn into a good player or a star, which is really what we're looking for here. But we'll see, you know. We'll see what happens.
Ben in the chat, I think, makes a good point that the first round is loaded enough to where there will be some options similar or maybe – better than Boston at 32. Like, there are going to be some legitimately strong first round talents fall to 32. I mean, I love picks 31 through 35 every year because you're going to get a first round talent as long as somebody reaches ahead of you. And then, I mean, it's just more fun. It's a better value. So I do actually understand it. I agree with the point that at 32, there's a good chance that, I mean, a McBride, a Butler, a Highland, a Christopher, like, those guys could also be there at 32. Another guy, I think JT Thor may slip out of the first. And if he does, that's a young guy where you just kind of say, hey, we'll just bet on the long-term upside and we're going to take him. So that's a pretty good point.
JT Thor out of Auburn?
Yes.
Okay. JT Thor out of Auburn. Yeah, I think, you know, it seems like a deep enough draft that somebody's bound to slip in. Just given the how the Knicks were so aggressive in last year's draft, a trade could be on the horizon. So, we have options, you know, and that's a good problem to have. So shout out to Ben in ATL. Keep the faith, Ben. Just keep the faith, man. We got something coming. All right, back to the phones we go. Book from Queens. Book, what's going on?
Hey, CP, thanks for having me again. You and Derek are doing a fantastic job, and you also did a great job with Benedict Kellerman earlier.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Love
yes.
to see what you did there.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Always, you know, left him with the bruises as usual.
Yeah, of course.
So to get right into it,
I
just want to speak philosophically on what I'd love to see the Knicks do with the trade and get you guys feedback on. I mean, with the draft, get you guys feedback on that. So everybody is talking about a point guard because we have that need. But the bottom line is, unless a point guard is basically a sure thing, they're not going to get the ball, as you've alluded to earlier, out of Julius, RJ, and even quickly in Derrick Rose's hands, right? Especially with Thibodeau as coach. So I honestly don't want them to draft for a point guard, because if we're looking at maximizing value in this draft, what they need to go out and get is shooting, because it's become standard at this point in the NBA that shooting is going to cost you about 18 to 20 million if a guy's a true sniper. And this is a team that needs a true sniper. We need regular season Joe Harris or all the time Duncan Robinson. And if they can nail that, then I think they can take a flyer on like some super project that they send to the G League, you know, second round, something like that. But in that first round, with what we have, if we're going to maximize value for this team, I think they have to draft for shooting. And I'm curious what you guys think with that mindset, who they should truly be going for.
I appreciate the call, man. I felt like you made a case for Trey Mann. You know, I felt like you made a case for Trey Mann. If we're trying to get maximize on shooting, I still think we need playmaking ability at the one. And yes, I still think we're going to go vets there to start, but we need long-term options. And in the playoffs, I felt like it was too much ISO Randall. We had no playmakers. We had no shot creators. And I still feel like we need someone that can help Julius get buckets in rhythm, get him shots. Somebody that can play in the pick and roll. You have pick and roll talent on your team in Mitchell Robinson. I mean, pick and roll finishers on your team in Mitchell Robinson and Obi Toppin. I still value that, you know, that type of playmaker on this team, even though, yes, we need shooting. We need shooting abound. So I see the case to be made for both at the one.
I think, you know, CP, it's a great question from like a philosophical standpoint. I think the Knicks need to decide, it's not so much what position do we, you know, what do we value or not value. I think it's, are we drafting to win the playoffs next year and in 2023, or are we planning for the future in some capacity? Because if you take a guy like Cooper, again, it's going to be tough to get a point guard late first who's just ready to come in and play minutes right now. But long term, he could be your guy. He could be an incredible point guard of the future. He's young. Again, like we said, we've talked about his skill a lot. You know, regarding the question, that's why I think trading up for a guy like Kispert, trading up for a guy like Duarte can make a lot of sense, because those guys space the floor for you right now on a rookie scale contract for 4 years. And that is where, again, I forgot your name who called in. It's a great point. Like, you are going to pay a tremendous premium for that if you get on the free agent market or you trade for it. That's why I think Trey Mann, to CP's point, does make a lot of sense. Not only can he facilitate, he's a shot creator. And what the NBA is showing us is that the value of secondary shot creators that are not your primary ball handlers are incredibly valuable, which, going back to my earlier statement, is why Trey Mann and Trey Murphy, if they're there, would be my two picks.
Yeah, speaking of ball handling, shot creation, the guy that I really liked who killed us, I keep talking about these Atlanta Hawks, I get PTSD from them, is Kevin Huerter. You know, I look at Huerter in that mold. And as you said, still in the rookie contract and giving you that value, it's incredible. And so I think the Knicks, if they trade up, I would love to have Kispert. We'll see where Duarte ends up. I'd like to see him on this team as well, because I think those guys are ready to go from day one. And so it'd be interesting.
It's the free agent numbers that these shooters are going to demand, which is why I think Duarte has a chance to go at the back of the lottery. Because his caliber shooting on the free agent market, you're going to pay $20 million for.
True story. True indeed. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We got over 800 people here on the check-in. CP here. We got Derek Murray here from basketballnews.com. We are taking your calls on the 2021 NBA draft, taking your questions as well. Salute to everybody who's in the chat that are new. What cities are you guys checking in from? Leave us where you guys are checking in from, and we'll shout you guys out. Derek, you're in OKC.
Yep. To everybody listening, I'm still here in Oklahoma City. I spent 4 years working with the Thunder, which is why I moved out here. Originally from Tennessee, but again, still live in Oklahoma City, fully remote now in my work. So again, basketball, you're always on the road anyway. So my wife and I are happy here right now. She's a teacher, but you know, there's a potential we go back to the Southeast where we're from eventually, but we still love it here.
Were you pulling for CP3 in the finals, or were you going with the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, we got to be careful on my answer here, because for those who are new to my work, again, at Basketball News, I work with Matt Babcock, who his family's, you know, NBA for many years and GM roles and director of scouting roles. His dad, Dave, has worked for the Bucks for many, many years. Mm. So I've been, even though I'll always root for the Thunder, they're my team, they're my first employee in sports, I feel like I had to root for the Bucks or I was going to be in trouble with my boss. So I was pulling for the Bucks. But again, CP3's time here in Oklahoma City, he helped these young guys develop so much.
Yeah.
He was good to the city. It was a homecoming for him almost because he was actually here with the Hornets after Hurricane Katrina, when the Hornets actually came and played in the old Ford Center downtown Oklahoma City. So CP3 was always good to this town. I was rooting for him. It was at least good to see him, you know, in the finals. I think I just wanted to see good basketball. I was going to be happy for one team and sad for one, no matter what the result was. But honestly, I'm just glad it was a great series. That was some fun basketball.
A lot of people were down on the series. I was up on it. For one, the Nets weren't in it, so I could actually watch with pleasure, like I told Max Kellerman earlier today. I wanted to see CP3 get it, but because I'm not so sure if he's going to get another chance, just the way things kind of shook out this season. But I was happy to see Giannis and Middleton, Drew Holiday, those guys get it. That performance last night, to me, was the best finals performance I've ever seen. And I've seen Jordan, I've seen Kobe, LeBron, KD. That 50 points, 14 boards, 5 blocks on both ends. I don't think I've ever seen a player give that level of maximum effort for 48 minutes on both ends of the court. It was just tremendous, tremendous performance.
And I would love to see the numbers on how many times a free throw shooter has improved that drastically.
That drastically.
In a clinching playoff game, finals game. I mean, that was absurd.
The people in Phoenix doing the countdowns are probably like, what happened?
Yeah.
They motivated him 17 and 19 from the free throw line. He's making fadeaway jumpers in the paint. The Freak was a man on a mission last night, man. There was no defense in the league that was stopping him last night at all. At all. I mean, he had poor DeAndre Ayton, and Ayton made a name for himself in these playoffs, man. He put him in the witness protection program last night because Ayton was completely shell-shocked from the opening tip. So congratulations to the Bucks and former Nick Bobby Portis, Arkansas Razorback, chipping in and closing a game, you know. So anything's possible. Anything's possible in this league, man.
I kept yelling Bobby time a lot last night. My buddy was getting really annoyed with me. But I was all about some Bobby Portis last night.
Yeah, I was rooting for Bobby Portis, man. You know, so good for him, good for the Bucks. So to everybody in the chat once again, I want to shout out Elias Dante checking in from Amsterdam. Darryl Walsh checking in from Dublin, Ireland. Darryl, how you doing? The Humble Memphian checking in from Memphis, of course. We got Matthew Formica checking in from Pittsburgh. Matthew, how you doing? Louis Chuaca checking in from Tampa. Right underneath him, we got Edward Stalling checking in from Fort Lauderdale. Edward's always in here. Yeah, man. Christian Fernandez says, great analysis so far. Thanks a lot, Christian. Salute to everybody in the chat, man. All the mods, as usual, TM, Dave, Keith Sinclair, everybody who helps out on the chat. John Talento, always in here first. Yeah, man, definitely appreciate all you guys. All right, back to the phones we go. We'll take a couple more calls. I see a couple of our regulars. Let's go to Park City. Dion, what's going on?
LCP, man, what's the word, man? What's going on, man? Derek, what's good, yeah?
Long time, Dion. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I wanted to ask Derek, like, no, I know he followed Kentucky closely, and I feel like, you know, B.J. Boston, he was brought in to be, like, basically the number one option. But I think it was a little bit too much for him. But I think at 32, that would be a real good pick if all we asked him to do is, you know, stand in the corner, knock down shots, and create a little bit off the dribble. And I wanted to get Derek's thoughts on that, as him being more of, like, a third option where he looked – look much better as a player. And I think the Knicks really should really trade 19 and go after Sexton and then take Murray and at 32 take Boston. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, Boston at 32 I think makes a ton of sense. His talent level, his shot creation ability, his ability to initiate the offense, his ball handling, his finishing. I understand that he struggled at Kentucky, but Deion, I agree with you. At 32, I think it makes a ton of sense. Ask you as his point guard, you know, not to diss ask you at all last year, but didn't really help that offense run as smoothly as it could have. And I think that hurt Boston because Boston sometimes during the games did become the primary initiator. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's his, you know, style of play that he's going to have to do at the NBA level. I think your secondary kind of wing initiator is what Boston's going to be. So Deion, to your point, like I do actually think that role he will excel in more. Now there were, again, like I said earlier, there were still concerns that that tell me like, hey, it's probably going to be 2 or 3 years before we get good NBA minutes out of BJ Boston. Mm-hmm. But at 32, I take a flyer. I take a low risk pick with a guy with tons and tons of upside, and I wouldn't think twice about it.
And Deion wants to trade 19 as part of a package to go get Sexton. And I think you mentioned Murray. Was it Murray at 21 or Murphy? Trey Murphy at 21, Deion?
Murphy at 21.
Yeah, okay. Listen,
yeah, Murphy at 21. And I agree with him, too. Like, Kentucky offense didn't take off till they put the ball in Terrence Clark's hand. Mm-hmm. And then once he got injured a little bit, that's when it stagnated again. Like, Askew, he didn't do anything for the offense. But, Murphy at 21.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, listen, I would definitely like to see Murphy as one of the picks. Not sure where Sexton goes or what a potential trade package looks like for him. I just felt like in terms of the demand, I just don't know how much demand is going to be out there for him when you factor in you have to trade for him and then his potential pay raise. How many teams are going to have that salary cap room to bring him in, and how many teams want to take that chance to bring him in? Because, you know, there's a lot of teams that have question marks on Sexton. What is his true fit? Can he play at the one? He ran besides Garland in Cleveland in that backcourt with Garland being the primary ball handler. How's his defense at his size? You know, similar things like that. But, you know, I feel like with the scoring potential, it's kind of grown on me in terms of his availability. If they can get him for the cheap, he's a CAA guy. If they can negotiate, not the rookie max, you know, I certainly wouldn't give him a 5-year, $168 million deal as far as what he's eligible to receive. But depending on the price, I think the Knicks should definitely investigate a Sexton move, because I think it's something where a kid that's 22 years old, averaging 24 points per game, I think it's a gamble that the Knicks may have to take or look into at the very least.
Yeah, it would be irresponsible for a team not to at least poke around and see what it would take to get him. You know, regardless of whether a team thinks he's an empty box score filling player, you know, your empty stats, maybe you don't like how he's kind of a ball stopper on offense. But again, at that kind of scoring for as young as he is, it would be irresponsible to at least not poke around and see, okay, what's it going to take to get him, you know, if we were interested here.
Yeah, it's growing on me, man. It's definitely growing on me. Shout out to Mr. William 1072 with the super chat. He says he wants Trey Mann at 19, Murphy at 21, and he says is 32 too high for Quentin Grimes?
I actually don't think 32 is too high. That's right around the line of where I would probably select him. Somewhere in that 35 to 40 is probably where I would be comfortable taking him. Other than off-ball shooting, movement shooting, which, again, is extremely valuable, I don't know what else you get with him. Yeah. So I think there could be some higher upside players available there at 32. But I'm not going to say that it's, like, way too high for Grimes. I think it's definitely on the table for teams in that range.
I mean, as Walt Perrin had said in previous interviews, that depending on, you know, the draft and the draft class – you know, he's not afraid to take a guy. He may have a pool of players in a certain range that he's not afraid to take a certain guy at that number if they like him and how he fits with the team. So we'll see if that input is imparted on this Knicks war room, and we'll see where they go. We'll see where they go. Thanks for the call, Deion. All right, last two calls of the night. We're going to go to, next up is Angel, and we're going to close with Jay from Florida. Angel, what's going on, bro?
Yo, yo, what's good, CP? How you doing? What's good, going man. On, Derek? How you doing?
Doing all right.
Hello?
Yep, we're here.
Oh, okay. Hey, guys, listen, Hey, CP, I did say the Bucks was going to win that series on Instagram
Live.
You did.
So definitely, good call. I said Suns in seven, man. So good call.
Yeah, I just thought the defense was just going to be too much. And, you know, with Giannis, man, he just played amazing. But, hey, listen, guys, you know, I really I think if the Knicks could draft Trey Mann and Murphy, that would, like, knock it out the park. But in the event that they only could get one of them, do you think at 21 it's too early to maybe draft, like, Boston or maybe Jackson from Kentucky? Because I just don't see the Knicks using all three picks. But I just have a hard time, you know, picturing them keeping all three picks and then actually playing them as well, because obviously this is a playoff team. So I just wanted to know what you guys thought, because I just don't see them keeping the picks. And as always, thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Well, I think, Derek, you touched on it earlier that you think Jackson goes maybe mid to late lottery, right? And correct me if I'm wrong. He may not
be there. Angel, I think if the Knicks want Jackson, I don't think he's going to be there at 19. They're going to have to move both of those picks and try to go get let me look over here. They're going to have to try to go get that New Orleans pick or the San Antonio pick or the Golden State pick, 10, 12, 14. I think if you want Jackson, you're going to have to move both and go get him there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And as we mentioned, it seems like Boston would more than likely be a second-round selection. So going to be interesting to see. I mean, like I said, the Knicks clearly have the intel on Jackson and Boston. I'm sure they're comfortable with those guys. So we'll see how they value them as compared to some of these other guys within that range. So
yeah, and if I could say something, CP,
yeah.
You know, Angel, so this is where draft strategy really becomes important, and teams trying to figure out the intel on other teams' thoughts is incredibly valuable. Let's say you don't want to pick at 19, 21, and 32. But let's say you are enamored with BJ Boston, but you don't want to take him at 21. You know, if you have done your homework on the teams drafting 22 to 31, and you are fully confident that you can get Boston at 32, then you move 19 to 21 to go up and get who you want. That is why this is so important, and teams need to be so tight-lipped on who they're looking at and, well, you know, what they're thinking, because you almost have to – it's like poker. It's like poker. You have to play the other general managers. You have to play the other scouting departments and not just the board. You know, you play the man. You don't play the cards. And that is, you know, that's a quintessential example here. If you really like Jackson and you really want Boston, you don't want all three picks. Like, do your homework on the teams in the 20s. If you think Boston's going to fall, go get your other guy and move the other two. So that strategy becomes a huge, huge important part of this whole process.
What are some of the ways that you can reveal, you know, what are some of the ways that a team may, you know, try to investigate how another war room is thinking or where they may be leaning to in the draft?
Yeah. Oh, man, we could do a whole show on that. you know, I think the easiest one, a lot of guys in these front offices have worked together. You know, when you work in sports, if you want to move up, you have to move around. So there's not many organizations that, like, you just start top to bottom or bottom to top in the same, you know, company. So like a lot of guys at these teams, they know each other. They know how each other think. You know, some of the analytically driven teams, they go and take a GM job over there. Now you've got GMs who work together for 10 years. They know how the other one thinks. And, you know, just like any of your best friends or like your coworkers, if I know what my buddy's going to do, you know, I know his tell in poker. I know what player he's going to like in the draft. So you kind of know things that way. You also have some people who talk too much. Sometimes your scouts talk too much, and that's fireable. You know, you shouldn't be talking about your plans inside your organization. Sometimes agents will leak information. But the big thing is with media and agents, you've really got to suss out who's lying to you. You never know who's telling you the truth, which is why relationships matter so much. I mean, Matt and I get intel from people, and sometimes we just assume, sometimes I know somebody's lying to me, and you just kind of have to play the game. There are people that I know, if they tell me something, I know they're telling me the truth.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways to find out information, but again, it's a big game. You have to play the man, you have to play the media, play the agents, you know, whole thing. It's so much.
Interesting. Very interesting, man. Appreciate that. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. And JG says it's like playing Frogger.
And yeah, so like, and it looks like you know, somebody mentioned find out who they worked out. I am of the opinion I would never let players tell you if they worked out for me. You would never know who I had in my city for a workout. That being said, some people will bring guys in for a workout and they don't even want them. Like, it's just to make you think that I want them.
Yeah.
So again, even that, even the workouts, you can't read a whole lot into. That's why it's funny to me because some people say, oh, he worked out here, we must really want him. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe this guy has a history of just working kids out to make people behind him think they're going to take him.
Yeah. Have we seen, like, maybe in last year's draft, you know, I don't know if you have an example of a team who didn't work a guy out and still took him?
If they didn't work him out and then still took him?
Yeah.
It's actually funny. I actually talked to Matt about that last night. Yeah, that happens. That happens every draft. Mm. Sometimes it's simple. It's as simple as scheduling. You know, maybe we couldn't get the kid in here, but we've been to enough live games that we do know that we fully like the kid and we've interviewed him over the phone. And so, yeah, the kid not working out for you does not always mean that your team isn't interested.
Isn't interested, yeah. Interesting indeed. All right, final call of the night. This is our draft guy. This is his time of year. This is his show. It was only right that I gave him the closer duties. Now, he hasn't been too pleased, Derek. We call him the Debbie Downer because he wasn't happy that the Knicks made it to the playoffs and ruined their chance in one of the deeper draft classes in many years. But nevertheless, we give him the floor. Jay from Florida. Jay, what's going on, man?
Yeah, the draft is where I come alive. I come alive in the draft. Listen, I need y'all to run it up.
Yeah.
We got 270 likes. Yeah. There's 800 people watching. Everybody go hit the like button now. Shout out to Ash. Me and Ash fight all the time, but you're right. Hit the like button. So my thing is we're getting priced out of our own free agents, right? Berman is dropping articles every day. Nerlens might be going to this team. He just dropped the Bullock, might be going to this team. This is what happens when you make the fourth seed. You play well in New York City, you get paid as a free agent. Now we have nothing to show for it. Knox didn't play. As soft as Knox is, he should have played a little bit more this year to see what he got, to at least build some value. We have absolutely nothing to show for it moving forward. The Colin Sexton thing, I want Sexton. I think Sexton is nice, but I feel like as Knicks fans, we're probably the most powerful on Twitter. I think we priced ourselves out of Bouknight. I think we priced ourselves out of Sexton just by talking. Kobe Altman got a wife and kids, man. I just Googled it. Kobe Altman got married in 2018. He works for Dan Gilbert. He's not trading Sexton for nothing to get fired.
Yeah.
The man needs a job. He got to work. Everybody in the chat works. Kobe Altman needs a job. So we got to come with it if we want Sexton. I think we got a better chance at Lonzo than Sexton. Derek, I appreciate you on the show, brother. A lot of good insight. I didn't hear anything about Jalen Johnson. I mean, people say Jalen Johnson's a four. I think he's a big three. I think he'd be a good draft pick. Same reason why you like B.J. Boston. I think Jalen Johnson's a blue-chip prospect. I think he'd be a good pick if you get him at 19. Walt Perrin is known for trading up in the draft. He's known for selecting who he wants. He did it with Williams. He did it with Spider. He did it with Gobert. Mm-hmm. I think Keon Johnson looks like a Walt Perrin player. He looks like Spider. You know, quick twitch athlete. Can't really shoot, but he got a lot of athletic prowess. So I think, you know, he might be a trade up candidate. I saw Wiseman wants the Knicks to trade up and get Moody. Giddy from Australia to play point. I think that'd be awesome too. I like Moses Moody from Arkansas. I think he's one of the best prospects in the draft. I'd love to trade up for him. So my question is, if the Knicks package 19 and 21 out of those three prospects, who do you think would be the best fit? Moody, Keon Johnson, or I forgot the last person I talked about. Anyway, next
Jalen
point.
Jalen Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. What do you think about Cam Thomas? We talked about it with Wise last time. I think he's a great offensive player. I think you draft a player like Cam Thomas, figure out the defense later. And then Vecini said, I was listening to some podcasts, Vecini said he's hearing a lot of Trey Murphy to the Knicks. Who do you hear, Derek? Who do you think the Knicks are targeting at this point? I want you to let your sources out on Knicks Fan TV. We don't care. We're burning all your bridges. All right. The Knicks fans need it. We need to know what you're thinking. We need to know what people are saying. My last point is rest in peace to Terrence Clark. I think Terrence Clark would have been in consideration for that 32 pick. I think he's even better than B.J. Boston, looking at the tape. I love Terrence Clark tape. Rest in peace to him. Crazy. He passed so young, man. 19, 18 is crazy. But I think they would have definitely looked at him moving forward. Anyway, you know I come alive in the draft time. I'm going. Holla.
Appreciate the call, Jay. All right, so Jay had three questions. He says, if we were to trade up from 19 to 21, out of Jalen Johnson, Keon Johnson, Moses Moody, who would you like best for the Knicks?
Yeah, so it's funny, Jay, it sounds like we just need to do more shows together because you make me come alive talking about the draft stuff. Tremendous questions. I really appreciate you jumping on the show. I really, really appreciate you coming on. Guys that we haven't talked about a whole lot that are definitely trade up worthy guys. And I just threw in the chat a link to our latest mock draft. We have Keon Johnson at 20. We have Jalen Johnson at 18. You know, two guys that, based on what we're hearing, Jay, I love you, brother. I'm not going to burn my sources for you, but they are slipping a little bit, at least among some NBA circles. Wouldn't shock me if both of them went up around 10, but we're hearing less and less about them as these lottery guys kind of as we move towards the draft. I would probably trade up to get Jalen Johnson because I think Moody is going to be very difficult to go get. I think you have to go all the way to 10 to get Moody.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Johnson, if you get up to as high as 13, 14, you might be able to get Jalen. Keon is a guy that if he's there at 19, I probably take him. I don't know if I'm moving two picks for him. If that makes sense. So if I had to pick one, I think Moody's would be the guy that you want. I think he's too difficult to go get. I think you have to go too high because he'll go early. So I would say Jalen Johnson is the guy that would be the most likely that maybe you trade up to go get him if you think you got a shot. He's only a couple spots ahead of you.
And the Knicks, according to Empire Sports, this was as of June 25th, it says that they did meet with Jalen Johnson. I don't see Keon Johnson on here. Or Moses Moody, but they said that they did meet with Jalen Johnson out of Duke. Second question: Cam Thomas out of LSU, the bucket. What's your take on him? A lot of my drafts have him going in that 20s range. What do you think about him?
Yeah, 20s is probably where I think he'll end up. One of the best shooters, best scorers, shot creators in this whole class, and it's not even close. I think a lot of the stuff with him is, Intel's just a little rough kind of coming out of LSU. There are some questions that aren't related to his basketball skill at all. I'll say it there. You know, it's not glaring to where people are going to say, oh, I'm just straight up not taking him. But even though he's probably a lottery level talent as a scorer, I do think he'll end up in the 20s.
Interesting. Okay. So maybe some off-court stuff, a little murky for him right now.
I won't get too much into it.
Got it. And he mentioned the recently departed Terrence Clark. Kid with a lot of promise, man. It was definitely unfortunate to hear he passed before his dreams could come true, man. But yeah, tough loss for the Kentucky program for sure. Did you guys before his passing, had you guys scouted him or done any research on him?
Yeah, a ton. You know, rest in peace, Terrence Clark. I think he was one of the most explosive athletes would have been in this whole draft class. And I think looking back, I think he had a potential to be a late first round pick. Again, another guy that even though he struggled, I mean, the high school stuff, the high school talent level, the athleticism, the bounce, explosion, he had it all. Breaks my heart for that family, anybody tied to his situation. And, it was one of those sad nights where you just kind of sit. You can't believe that really happened. So
yeah.
Rest in peace, TC. But Jay, I do think he would have had a shot to go in the first round.
Interesting indeed, man. But Derek, this was a great session. Another great session for 2021. I thought you gave us a lot of stuff to dig in on and digest. And we'll see, man. 8 days away from the NBA draft. We'll see what the Knicks come out with. But once again, can't thank you enough for bringing us your intel and your insight and just sharing all this knowledge with us, man. So definitely let the people know where they can find you and any upcoming projects you may be working on.
Yeah, of course. Again, like CP, just thank you so much for letting me come and be on the show. You're one of the best hosts. Best basketball guys out there in the country, in the world, as far as I'm concerned. So it's an honor to come on the show. Always an honor to speak to Knicks fans as a whole. Y'all are some of the best fans in all of basketball. And you do price yourself out of good free agents because your market is so big and your fans are so good. So that does happen. But again, y'all are going to be back probably in the playoffs again next year. I fully expect it. And I expect a pretty good draft, whether or not you keep 19 and 21 or you move up and they keep 32. I expect the Knicks to be very happy on draft night. So I threw a link to my Twitter in the chat. It's D Murray NBA. And then follow us over at basketballnews.com. Subscribe to our YouTube or our YouTube page as well. We got pre-draft workouts. We got a bunch of podcast networks, Rex Chapman, James Posey, a lot of other guys. So check all of our stuff out. We'll also be doing a live show through our YouTube on draft night, breaking down every pick. So if you guys come over there, I'll be sure to take some time on the next ones. But again, CP, thank you so much. Thanks for everybody hanging out with us. Let me talk a little bit of draft.
Absolutely. And once again, salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. I hope you guys enjoyed it, man. As I promised, as I delivered, you get this nowhere else, man. The best of the best. We've given you the guys that know, eat, sleep, and drink the NBA draft. I want to thank Derek Murray. I want to thank Matt Babcock, Babcock Hoops, even Jason Filippi. Jason, I talked to Jason about Luka Vildoza. He sent me some intel via email earlier this season. So, you know, these guys help us out a lot in really helping us understand who these guys are and what they're all about. So I can't thank these guys enough. And you know, pleasure to have them in our network. Remember, these shows are available in audio podcast format, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Stitcher, all the major platforms. So if you miss it on video, you can catch it on audio. We'll be running the replays throughout the night as well. So shout out to the replay gang. Make sure you guys are hitting that thumbs up on the replays as well. And remember, this show is brought to you by Manscaped, fellas. Go to manscaped.com. Enter promo code Knicks for 20% off plus free shipping on your lawnmower 4.0 and all other Manscaped products. So once again, 8 days away. 19, 21, 32, 58 for now. We'll see who's coming out in an orange and blue uniform. We'll see you guys next time. Derek Murray, CP, we out of here.